Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the living God. We're on the air once again. We had some difficulties because what has happened, but we're back on the air. Praise the living God. Amen, amen, amen. I couldn't go through my regular Skype. I'm using my cell phone, so you have to bear with me. And I know that Sister Sonia was supposed to be on tonight, and she come back on. We thank God. We give God the praise and the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hello, my beloved. How y'all doing out there?
Blessed and highly favored. We're blessed. Thank God you're there.
Amen. 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 I just want to give God the glory, give God the praise for all that he has done, not only for me, but for all of us tonight. And I know that the more we press in, the more God will let us get in. And one of the most astounding words is that the Bible tells us the word F-I-R-E, fire. And our God rained down fire from heaven. And he's raining down that fire now, holy fire, to all the believers. And I will say this, don't give up, don't give in, keep believing God and watch God do what he say he's going to do. And I pray she come back on the line. And Sister Sonia, she's supposed to be by herself. And, you have to pray with me. Sometimes this blog talk video, it won't let us do what we need to do when we want to do it. Because we try to follow the procedures. And so sometimes I just have to dial my own number to get us in. But I love y'all. Amen. Anybody got a quick testimony?
Yes, I do. We had a blessed time yesterday. This is Reverend Princess Love, and I just want to give all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He does move, he does reign, and he does rule in the hearts and minds of his people. He is all we need, people. I'm telling you, we don't need Jesus plus nothing. He is all you need. Study his word. Fill your head with his word. And your spirit is a sponge. It will eat the word of God. And even when you haven't, like Pastor Hunter always say, be ye ready. You don't have to, even when you don't know what to say. Because remember what he told them disciples? Don't even take script with you. But when the Holy Ghost come up on you, he shall speak through you. That's all. If you study the word, put it in you, it's going to come out at its appointed time. And I tell you, God moved on our third year anniversary celebration yesterday. Celebrating. So I don't truly believe in anniversaries and things like that, but I do believe in celebrating what God has did for you. God has... a lot of people celebrate the day of their second birth. A lot of people celebrate the day of their calling and their church foundation. And so I can't find any fault in that. I do think it can get out of hand, but nevertheless, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, one man judge one day highly, some men judge all days the same. So we just going to be found giving God the glory for whatever day, whatever situation it is, because we are just, it's a great testimony, because we got the greater one in us. That's the gift. That's the thing. I'm telling you, the greater one lives in you, the greater one. I mean, if we can just meditate on that and catch a hold of it, we can set this whole world on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. And one of the things I would say to us, I'm going to ask Sister Love, would you just take over and go ahead on, because I don't believe if you come back with this real time, go ahead and do, will you go ahead and do what the Lord has told you to do on your time for the next 30 minutes? Amen. Sister Love? Shonda? Hello? Shonda? Well, everybody just...
This is the panic.
Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing better. Thank you.
Tell us what the Lord has done for you.
God has been very good to me. We just want to give him all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. God has brought me a long, long ways, and he's steady doing miraculous things in my life, and I just thank him for that. He's also has woke me up this morning. That was a wonderful thing right there by itself. Mm-hmm. And because without him, I know that I am absolutely nothing. God has he's teaching me how to be still and how to be quiet. You know, I used to feel like I always had to have something to say, but he's teaching me. I didn't realize I had to be taught to be quiet. And so I just thank God for that. I also thank God for his saints. For the men and women of God, that he has placed me amidst in their midst, and because of he told me that if I ever want to learn anything, you know, just stay among the true saints of God. And I knew I couldn't understand. I said, "True saints? Now, who is a true saint?" But then I learned that everybody who say Lord, Lord is not. You know, of God, you know, and they building up man and all type of idols, you know, in their lives. So I just thank God, Hunter, for just being alive today. You know, I mean, that's about what I need to say about the Lord, that he would never leave you or forsake you, you know, and he will perfect that which concerns us. So I know if we stick together, then the true saints, that he will make a way out of no way. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I know that on the East Coast of the United States of America, we have to pray and believe for those who have been flooded. And if some of you got to... And looked at it and you saw it on the television and the water just pulled Lord down. But that was what said to one said to me that it was a cleansing. It was a cleansing of that particular area. And y'all know some time ago when in South Carolina they had that young man to go down there and kill those what is 9 or 10 people that he went to the church and killed. So they got saturated. Amen. It wasn't God doing it, but it was a point of contention to understand what God's word says. And so I just, when I saw it, I said, my God Almighty, just like it was in Houston some years ago, water in the top of a vehicle, people trying to swim their way through. But if we take the word of God, to those of us who believe, the sons of God, we have the right to do what the true and living God said to do. The sons of God. And I'm just going to say what God said in my heart, and you know it's in your heart. He said, if he loves me, he said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He asked him three questions. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter got up and said, he said, well, Lord, you know my heart. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Feed them. Giving the word of God is not a tip, tip, tip through the loodles, but it's the word of the living God. If a man is a sinner, He must know that he has sinned, and repentance is the only way out of it. Because the Bible tells you and I, the blood has been shed. All we got to do is stand up before God. Lord, I made the mistake. I can't put anybody on the radio station. I am the one. I made the mistake. And you know what? God keeps us coming on in. But he's a forgiving God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, and I know what the minister said
about
me. Praise
his name.
Amen. I thank God that left me here for a reason. Now, when I feel it, when all of my time has been done, I'm going to take the word in Genesis, I believe the 6th chapter somewhere there, God has promised man to live by 120 years. I'm looking for 120 years to fulfill. Now, you say what Moses said, 3 score and 10 and 7. No. No, I'm gonna live. I want to live more. I want to live 120 years. Why you want to live so? Because God said it. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So praise God. Amen. See, the one thing that I've come to that I know the more all day to day. There's a word that's been in my spirit called F. I-R-E, fire. Fire. And that word gets so in tune with what God is doing in my life. And see, I put this on the Facebook first. These words. Father, you have given us your word for this hour. Our prayer is that all of us will stand firm in your word. Satan has lost the battle. And you know that the sons of God are ruling this realm. And I said, read more. I'm putting out some of my Facebook and I said these words, and I'm going to let somebody else talk. Oh, glory. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. He's coming. A fire shall divide before him, and he shall be a temperance round about him. My soul is among the lions and the lion, even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are sharp as arrows and their tongues are sharp. Thou hast caused men to glide upon the head. They went through the fire and through the water, but he brought them out of a wealthy place. Hallelujah. Israel, as smoke has driven them, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so that the wicked perish at the presence of God. Don't have to worry about the wicked. Let's keep trying to get them in. They have cast fire upon the thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place in the name of our God. In the day, all of a sudden, he led them with a cloud, and with the night with fire. And as I looked at Psalm 74, I put down there, because they have defiled, they've come to the sanctuary of God, and they say, hey, you got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do that, we got to do this, we got to do that. God has told us, believers, what we want to do. And I say to every believer, like, I love you and I thank God for you. There is no God like our God. Hallelujah. So,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Fire. Fire. Oh, glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we got, I'm going to ask Sister Royal, Royal Ruth. No, would you come on now? We got about, go ahead and take over, please. We got about, it's your time to be on there. Can you go ahead and get on there now?
Yes, I can get on there now. Praise the Lord,
okay.
Sister Pat. Praise the Lord, Brother Hunter. Let us pray. Mm-hmm. Almighty Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking and praising and glorifying and magnifying and exalting you, Lord. All glory to you. Almighty God, we thank you.
We thank you for bringing us through the many tribulations, many trials, many afflictions, Lord. But we thank you for delivering us from all of them, Lord. He had a massive stroke. Sister Pat has been terribly, terribly sick, terribly nigh unto death many times, and me too. But through much tribulation, Lord, we are entering in because we're being purified by your Spirit, Lord, being tried and melted down. We
yes,
must
Lord.
See, and you're increasing. We thank you, Lord. We thank you most
thank you,
gladly,
God.
I'll say it. Most gladly, we will suffer and be suffered because we know, Father, that the greater one lives in us. We know, Father, that not only us, but all those that the Father has given you, you shall in no wise lose any. And we thank you, Father, for
thank
being
you,
on tonight, letting your Holy Spirit penetrate the ears and the hearts of mankind, like Sister Pat said. Because we woke up this morning and we still yet alive this evening. That is a monumental success in the name of Jesus. Because a lot of people woke up this morning, but they're not yet alive at this hour. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the Holy Spirit being in predominant force over our lives and our hearts and our minds and our mouths and our energy. In Jesus' name, let the word go out and let the love of God penetrate. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. What made me pray that prayer, brothers and sisters, was that the scriptures say, through much tribulation, through
yes.
much tribulation. Brother, in 2010, Brother Hunter had a stroke that was so, it was touch and go. And then Sister Pat, we've had more than strokes. We've had so many. We can't even count them all. But they have been all good for us, people. Believe me, it's not bad. It sounds bad. And at the time, all of our enemies looking might even be laughing and saying, they say, what they tell Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, come down off that tree. Oh, they serve God. Where they God at now when they going through all of this? Where they God at when they laying sick in the hospital? Where they God at when he had that massive stroke? Where they God at when she done had all them strokes and been paralyzed and all that? Where they God at? Them are the haters. Them are Satan's instruments to make you feel depressed and down. And so, therefore, we know out there in this audience, out there on the radio land, we know there are many people right this minute who are in the hospital or who are in their house, who's sick, who don't have the strength to do for themselves. And yet, I want you to be encouraged to know there's a brighter day. Look at here, Brother Hunter now. He has lived these many, from 2010, from that stroke, to see his vision come to life on the radio. Hallelujah. I mean, how can we be but happy? Sister Pat has, I can't tell it better than they can tell. But me, I can tell mine. I'm telling you, testimony tonight to folks. Testify how God has brought you through many tribulations, through many trials, through many mockings, through being made fun of. Yet, as the word say, none of us have been suffered unto death yet. We haven't been to death yet, but God, give us the strength, Abba. Give us the strength when that time comes. When that man walked up to him last week and said, "Are you a Christian? Or what are you? Are you?" I'm going by hearsay. I didn't listen to the exact news
thing, but I do know he killed them because they say they were Christians. So are we able to set you people out there? Or are we able? If I came to, if you walked up to me right now with a gun or a knife, and would I say yes? Or would I just not say nothing? Would I? We don't know. We hope we'd be faithful unto death, but we don't know. We don't know. Because it's easy to talk when you ain't threatened. But when that threat is standing right in front of you, and you know that you just one split second from death, and if you ain't ready, be ye ready for much tribulation. Because marvel not, they did it unto the Son of God, and we are not greater than the Son of God. They will do it unto us. And we don't know if we've been chosen for such a time as this, for such a time as this hour. Sister Esther's favorite song saying, it's for such a segunda tarde, for such a time as this. I mean, and we don't know. I'm telling you people out there, it's time to get ready and get serious. When these sicknesses that have come upon us, and those financial distraughtness have come up on you, those ain't nothing but God just showing you these things ain't important. Ain't none of that important. Ain't none of that important. Your health, your money, your nothing. Only thing, people, only thing, I tell you, with all my joy, with all the love of God, the only thing that's important is Jesus Christ. I tell you, and Brother Hunter, you got to tell them how you was afflicted, how you couldn't talk, how you couldn't move, brother. I seen you. And I've been there, and I've seen people. People don't know, but it's like every month. And y'all, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read to you what Paul said. Let me read to you. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. It is, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up unto paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. But listen to this. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Whoever's got their phone, you need to mute your phone because we can hear everything. I know it doesn't sound like it, but we can. At least I should be exalted above measure through abundance of revelation given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This is, now we get into some serious meat. This is meat of the word now. Lest I should be exalted above measure. I'm telling you, 40 years ago when I was stricken for many years, I didn't think
I could not understand. Nobody was there to tell me that God was purging me, purifying me for meat, to make me meat for the ministry. I couldn't understand that, why I had to suffer and be made a joke just because I confessed that I loved the Lord and I was believing in it. I was a joke. I was a joke. But the word of God says we shall not be ashamed. We shall not be ashamed. We shall not. At that moment, though, you might be ashamed. You might be ashamed because people saying, "You," I heard them laugh. She believed in God. Oh, she believed in God. They made fun of me. But praise be to God. Praise be to God. I was listening to this, Paul, what Paul said. Least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that means three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, verse 9, memorize this, everybody, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I chose to, I really wanted to read it to you from the Amplified, from my Amplified Bible. But listen, Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And this is what every saint who's going through some terrible times, through some tribulations, through some hard times, through some financial times, through some physical times, through some joking times where you're the butt of the joke, most gladly, oh, glory, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's verse 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9, and verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory, in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. And that's what Sister Pat said a while ago. And that's what, we are the three stooges. We can truly testify to that. Though we be nothing, yet we count it all glory that God has counted us. And I'm not just us. We know there are many of you out there suffering and don't understand what you're going through. But we have been translated into the kingdom. We're kingdom people. And this is part of the path of being a kingdom disciple. It's not always going to be rosy. But you can do it with a smile, I promise you. You can even do it with a smile. Because what this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to you. And the world can't take it away. Tribulations can't take it away. The distresses can't take it away. Sickness, even nigh unto death, cannot take it away. Because we win. We win, people. We're winners. And not because we've done anything. And I want to go to Titus chapter 3. Because I want you to understand. Greater. I mean, I can't state it enough. how important it is for us to understand. Greater is he that is in you. That's in you. And I know there are times you say, well, I ain't got nothing. I ain't nothing. I'm nobody. But you became somebody when the important creator came and lived in you. And guess what? You didn't have to do nothing but just believe that he is. Believe that he is. Hallelujah. Believe. And that's my desire on this here radio, anywhere I go, is to teach people how to know who you are and how to walk in that victory. And, yes, I know them television radio people don't tell you how sick they've been or how scorned they've been, how abused they've been. They don't tell you. Because we have so much joy that it's hard for you to imagine that I've died 3 times, that I've been paralyzed from my neck all the way down and couldn't even lift a spoon to bring it to my mouth. It's hard for me to imagine, and I was there. It's hard for me to imagine that people was laughing at me and making fun of me just because I believe that Jesus Christ is the greatest thing in and out of this world. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Even when I didn't have a dime or a penny and was destitute and almost homeless, my girlfriend said, I was homeless. I was almost right there at the door of being homeless. But I told God, I'm trusting you. I'm your problem. You got to solve it. I'm your problem. You say you love me, God? I love you, and I'm trusting you, and that's what I want y'all to do. Do you realize you're sitting in a chair right now? You trust that chair? I want y'all to understand, trust is the greatest thing you can do to God Almighty. All he wants you to do is trust him. You trust when you're riding down the street. You trust when you're riding down the street and do y'all realize we are in a city, we're here in Houston, people all over the world. We're in Houston. Yeah. We got all kind of freeways. We got spaghetti freeways. And do you realize how much trust you got when you get in your car or in the bus or whatever transportation it is, that for it to ride down them freeways and trust that freeway ain't going to collapse? Can you trust God as much as you trust that? Can you trust God much as you trust that seat you're sitting on? Can you trust God as much as you, when you woke up this morning, turn to the side to swing your feet over the bed and you put your feet on the floor? Can you trust God just that much? He ain't asking you for a whole lot of trust, but you've got to understand how much trust you've dedicated your life to. You trusted when you went and paid thousands of dollars to get your degrees and your diplomas and your education. You trusted that that's going to make a better life for you. Can you trust God that much? Can you trust my God? I'm telling you, we got the greatest. Do y'all remember, how many of you out there remember Muhammad Ali? He was Cassius Clay. Clay to me. I thought that was a nice name, too. However, he made fun of us believing in the white Jesus, he said. But we don't believe in a white Jesus. We don't believe in a black Jesus. We believe in a Jesus who created every color and who is God of all. Hallelujah. But he ain't say Lord until you receive him. Now, God is the creator, but he ain't that man's God. Because the Bible says
just like the sister said, in the last day, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have I not done many things for you? But there's only one little thing you need to do. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Creator and that he died for you and that he was buried. And that he rose. But you, let's go back down to the grave a little bit longer. Let's go back down there to the grave. I want to show y'all something that you didn't realize. In 2 Peter, this 2 Peter chapter 2, and then I'm going to end up in Titus chapter 3. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, it's so beautiful. This word, I tell you, if God didn't give us nothing else but the word, that was enough. And Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's see. Where's that scripture there? Where am I? 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, oh, glory. Woo! Oh, glory, y'all. Oh, I was tired before I got on this phone, but this is how much good, this is better than life. Jesus is better than life, people. I beg of you, if I could pass out portions of my flesh so that you could eat the blood of Jesus and understand how great he is. I mean, there's nothing better than Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord God Almighty, Elohim. There is nothing better because he, listen to this, 2 Peter chapter 1, hallelujah. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. I'm repeating it. I'm not stuck. I'm repeating it because that is one of the things that seems to be escaping in the church, in the body, in the one or two or three that's gathered in the name, is brotherly kindness. And yet that's what we call a little maca, pastor. Oh, brotherly kindness is very important. It's very important. It's very hard. Don't think it's easy. It can be very hard. But when we lose ourselves, and when we really understand who people are and what the situation is, it says having escaped this world through the corruption that is in this world through the lust. Well, when you look at your brother or sister or even a person who ain't a believer and understand, you understand that's a sick person, you know. That's a person who don't know. They haven't come into the knowledge of Christ. So we don't count it. We don't have to count it toward them. And that's for what we... this same book I'm in going to tell us later. Oh, count it all joy when people say all manner of evil things about you. This same book going to tell you, rejoice when you fall into these times. Give God more praise
Give I know I'm talking stuff that's hard. Believe me, I've been there, done that, and I fail sometimes too. Don't I'm trying to fool you. I have failed, and I look back. The Bible says to be loving to the unlovable. Oh, it's so hard because we're in our flesh. We're in our fleshly body. And, you know, it's easy to want to revile when you've been reviled. It's easy. That's natural. That's natural. That ain't no big deal, as they say. That's normal. That's normal for me to want to hurt you because you hurt me. But that's why Jesus was great, people, because he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He could have did it, but he didn't do it. But really, I don't think he could have did it because when you learn, as I've taught last week, the understanding that Jesus Christ was he was birthed through a woman, Mary, but his father was the Holy Spirit. So yes, he felt and knew all the fleshly things, but he, because of who his father was, he didn't have the weakness. As if you smack me right now, I'm going to sure want to smack you back or say something nasty to me. I mean, as much as I love God, I'm going to want to get you, you know. That's my natural flesh. That's what flesh is all about. That's why we had to have a Savior. Glory to God. Oh, boy, my time is really gone. And I'm telling you.
You can continue. You have time. You got to continue.
but I just want you to understand you can take the word of God and use it to your glory and to the benefit, but make sure you give God the praise. I want to be careful always to give God the praise. I take a lot of herbs. I take a lot of things to stay well. I've been diagnosed with over 23 diseases, and at least five of them are incurable, they say. But because of Jesus, I'm looking to him for my health. I'm looking to him for my strength. Oh, glory. I tell y'all, I wish you all could know that it's all worth it. Yes, there are going to be tears, but praise him through the tears. Give him glory. Give him all. Give him all the praise. God, when you read Revelation chapter 20 and see that them elders around his throne, 24/7, y'all, 24/7. Yes, I have a fearful, I'm going to heaven, yes. I can tell you truthfully, I'm going to heaven. But what will it be for me? What rewards will I get in heaven? And will God find me? Will he say, well done, my precious servant? Oh, did you do all that you really could have did, my little girl? Or did you use many excuses? Oh, God, have mercy on me. But, however, I will be in heaven, but I won't be no big wig, probably. I just had to give y'all something to laugh about. But that won't be funny. I promise you, that won't be funny. That will not be funny. I love you all, and more than my love, Jesus loves you. And that is more than we can ask for. God is more than enough. He is more than enough. And I did want to read to you just before on my way out. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates and to be ready to every good work. This is what Pastor Hunter always say. Be ye ready. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. This is Titus chapter 3. And I'm going to 5. But gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. That's what I was just saying. Disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts,
and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. This is it, people. This is it. Coming right here. Not by works of righteousness. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, now, of the regenerating and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ah! Glory to God. May you all have a blessed evening. Study Titus chapter 3. Study the second piece. Study the word. Eat it like you're a ravenous dog. Eat it like it's the best bone you ever had. Eat it. Eat it. Feast on it. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me, Jesus said. And he is it. You don't need Jesus and nothing else. Jesus is enough to send you to the moon. He's enough to send you around the world. He's enough to make your enemies your footstool. He's enough to make the devil bow at your feet. He is God all by himself. And I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ and all of your ears that heard tonight. May the Lord bless you abundantly in the love of Jesus. Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen. Nobody but the devil. The devil got hot toes. He got out of gospel. He got out from the word tonight. What a word. Praise God. Praise God. So we just believe that the treasure
is for cash. The homeless are always an order home. They need money.
There's a lot of dogs in the background. Patricia?
Sir?
Patricia?
Sir?
Are you there?
We pay cash, get close quickly, and pay
just. Are you there?
Did a great job.
Praise God, Apostle. Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, Tim.
Hello, everyone, on tonight.
So?
Go ahead.
Hello. There's a lot of numbers in the background. Let me see.
That's not my background.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to see what your number is. So I'll find it. Don't worry. I'm going to get you. Don't worry. Hallelujah. My. Let's see here. Somebody dropped again. I guess they said goodbye. Well, goodbye. All right, let's see here. Let's see. Let me try these numbers here. Say, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Amen. I want to start off with prayer on tonight. Lord, we just thank you for this time and this opportunity. That you minister to everyone on the line tonight, including myself, Father God. That you open our ears and our understanding to receive what thus says the Lord, Father God, and cover us all under your blood in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Well, today's topic is talking about love and Jesus' love. And I want to start off with 1 Corinthians 16 and 14, which says, and do everything with love, meaning everything that we do on a day-to-day basis, from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go back to sleep at night, we have to do everything in love, even when we don't feel like walking in love. Us as Christians, we should let our light shine and walk in that type of love that Christ has given us through Jesus Christ. And also in Galatians 5:22, it says, it talks about the first the fruit of the Spirit. And the first fruit of the Spirit is love. So we know that love is a very important to God. And that's something that us as his children should always have as first in our lives to walk and operate in with those, our loved ones and our enemies. And also Ephesians 5 says, follow God's example in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others. Follow the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume unto him. So I ask, are we smelling sweet unto God? Are we walking in love? Are we sacrificing our own needs and wants and feelings and walking in love with all those around us? When God looked on us, do he like the smell that we are doing? Are we walking in his love? In John 14 and 15, it says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. And the most important commandment is written throughout the Bible, but I'm going to share from Mark 12, 29 and 13, which states, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is to listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. There are many commandments in the Bible, but these two are the most important. We are to love our Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, everything that is within us. We have to daily submit to him and proclaim his love. And we have to do it with our neighbors and not just our neighbors physically next door to us. He's talking about everyone, our fellow brethren and sisters. He's talking about those in the church house, those outside the church house. We ought to walk in love. And sometimes it can be so difficult because your flesh wants to go off in a quick minute when someone does something to offend you or disrespect you or do something that belittles you or just straight out does something that makes you want to just go off on them. But we have to be mindful that as Christians, we have to walk in the love that God has blessed us with and think before we speak. Be mindful of everything that comes out of our mouth. Because if we don't have self-control, that's not showing a good fruit of the Spirit. We have to have self-control. We have to always be slow to speak. We have to always be mindful of what comes out of our mouth. And we have to love our neighbors, even when it's hard. Love, love, love. Love is so important. So what is love? The English definition of love is feeling of a strong or constant affection for a person, thing, or intense feeling of deep affection. But in the Greek, there's four different meanings of love. And there's three in the Bible. One of them are not in the Bible, but I'm going to share all four, the definition of all four, which is agape love, phileo love, eros, and storge. Agape love is brotherly love, affectionate, goodwill, love, and benevolence is a disposition to do good, an act of kindness, a generous gift, charitableness, the love of mankind, and accommodating with a desire to promote their happiness. Agape is a good type of love, unconditional and not based on how you may feel about someone. Agape love is expressed in action and obedience to God and his commandments. Phileo love is a love based on friendship, meaning friend. Your feelings and your emotions are connected with this form of love. Eros love is an intimate or romantic or sexual type of love, and that is not mentioned in the Bible. And storge is a family type of love, like a natural affection, for example, a parent to a mother or a brother to a sister and vice versa. But tonight I'm going to discuss and elaborate on agape love. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 8.
Amen. 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 Are you there?
Yes, I'm getting time to get to the Bible. But agape love is expressed through God, how he gave Jesus to us, you know. He sacrificed Jesus for us, you know. That is like an unconditional love. He gave his only, one and only son for us to save us. And that is an unconditional love, because if you think about your own life and your own children, are you willing to sacrifice your children for others? Are you willing to sacrifice your family members or things that are important to you for others to get saved from, or just to get revealed, you know, relieved from? Are we willing to do that? And that's like an unconditional love. And that love is just so unexplainable. And the scripture has it, do we understand how wide or how long or how deep God's love is for us? And that's a good expression of agape love. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, starting at 1. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clinging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? If I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or pride or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, and love never loses faith, and is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will not, and it will all disappear. And I want to elaborate on starting at 4. When it says love is patient, and the definition for patient is to bear and to suffer, to be long-suffering and have long patience, to be patient and patiently endure, to be patient and bear with offenses and injuries of others, to be long-suffering and slow to anger and slow to punish, able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. God is patient with us in everything we do, and we should also be patient with others. For example, you could be like working with someone, and they're not doing their part at the place, and you know that they are not pulling their weight, and you don't want to do it because you know that it's their job to pull their weight. And you could get upset, but God tells us to be patient with them. You know, share how we feel in a loving way, but to be patient. Even in suffering with different things in life, you know, long suffering is also a fruit of the Spirit. And God teaches us to be patient. And when the Holy Spirit lives in us, you know, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to live in patience and to do that in love. So love, one of the main things it says is to be patient and kind. And kind is acting the benevolence, which is the definition I just gave you, which means to be kind in everything that you do, even putting your own needs to the side, to seek and help someone else's need, you know, whether it be a family member or a friend or someone you don't even know. You know, we ought to be kind with everything that we do. And love is not jealous. And jealous means to be envy, to want or to have a desire or a feeling of showing envy to someone or their achievements and their advantages, or to covet. And covet is mean having or showing a great desire to possess something, typically something belonging to someone else. And that is definitely not love. You know, so many times we come across different people in different situations, and, you know, we may be looking at other people's lives and not knowing what that person go through to get to where they're at. And not realizing when we desire to have someone else's life or desire to have the things that other people have, that's covetous. That's operating in jealousy. You know, you should never be envy or wish to have what someone else has. You know, You have to be strong, and you have to go to God and ask God the different plans he has for your life, because what someone else has walked through, you may not have the strength to go through. You know, God has designed everyone's life to a certain way that he know what we can handle and what we deserve. Everyone is different in their own way. So when you seek to look at someone else's life, when you see that they got this and they got that, that doesn't mean it was easily gotten. You know, some people, we have to walk through different areas in our life to get to where we have to be. Everybody has to do that. And there's different levels to doing it. You know, you can't desire somebody else's husband or friend or somebody else's job. You know, God has something just for you. He uniquely and wonderfully made us all. So our lives, we cannot compare and wish to have somebody else's life. We have to desire on the life that God has for us and ask God to show us the plans that he has for us. And also said that love is not boastful or pride. We're showing excessive pride, feeling deep pleasure, or satisfaction as a result of one's own achievement and qualities or possessions. That is being, you know, when you arrive to, for instance, if you graduated and you got your master's degree and you in school, and I mean, you at work from your job and you've accomplished that and you're supposed to be happy about it, but you're not supposed to boast about it or be so proudful where no one wants to even have a conversation with you because all you're doing is talking about your achievements and, you know, the words that we ought to boast about our Father, and that's all we should boast about. The things that God has allowed us to accomplish, we ought to be humble about. We can't boast and throw it in each other's face because you never know who you can hurt by throwing your achievements in their face. You know, the best thing we ought to do is to walk in love and help someone else to be successful as yourself, or reach out and show them what they can do, you know, to reach out, you know, to achieve their goals. But we are not to be boastful or prideful about anything in our life, any of our achievements, any of our qualities or our possessions, or the nice things that we have. We are not to be boastful or prideful. We are to have those things and be happy about it and be humble about it, because just like God gives it, he can take it away if you're not doing what you're supposed to do with it. And also say love is not to be rude. And rude is offensively impolite or ill-mannered. And so many times I can use, for example, we may go to a restaurant or a drive-thru or something, and they may have messed up our order. And as soon as we get our order, we are, like, upset. We are ready to go back and go off of them. We want our money back. And that's not walking in a God type of love. That's not showing that you are a Christian and you're letting your light shine. We ought to be patient and kind, and we are not to be rude and just straight out disrespectful. Even inside the church house, when you are trying to express yourself with your fellow brother and sister, it's a certain way that you do it. We have to do all things in love. You know, when someone is speaking to you, you know, you should pay them attention and show the respect that you're paying attention to them. And then when you share, you have to share with love and not, like, being rude or over-talking them or thinking that your ideas are better than theirs. Or, you know, you have to always be mindful of your actions and how you speak to people. And it said love does not demand one's own way. Just like I was talking about, you know, we can't be selfish and seeking only to please ourselves or always want to do things our way. The most humble way to do things is to be a servant. You know, always seek to help other people and what God is doing in their lives and what they have, you know, not what you have and what you desire, what you want, because your way is not always the way. We have to put our heads together and we have to work together and we have to come to an understanding on what's best for the overall group, not one person. So you can't be demanding and always wanting your way in everything that you do, even in your household. You know, you have to be mindful of what your husband wants or your children want or your wife wants. You can't just demand something because that's what you want, because that's not walking in love. You have to be mindful of everyone that's involved, and you have to reach out to everyone that's involved, and you have to desire to be at admit and unite with everyone to come up to something that's agreeable for everyone and not just your way and how you want things. Love is not to be irritable, which means easily provoked or arise to anger or easily stirred up wrongly or easily annoyed or have bad or short tempers, meaning you can't get mad easy. The word says to be slow to anger. You can't let just anything tick you off and make you just want to go all the way to the love. You have to be mindful, and you have to have patience once again. You cannot let just anything, any little simple thing get to you. It has to take a lot for someone to make you upset as a Christian. You know, like you say, you turn the other cheek. You have to endure and you have to be strong and you have to walk in confidence and a trust in God to take care of every situation, and you can't let just any little thing get to you. You know, when someone does something that offends you or says something that's, you know, out of line, you take a minute and you say, God, now I know you see this. And I know that you know what's going on, and you know how to deal with this situation. So, God, I ask you to deal to my flesh to rise down and the Holy Spirit rise up in me and teach me how to deal with the situation. Or teach me on what to say, Lord, so we can come to peace. Because we have to do everything in peace as well, you know, find a way to be peaceful in everything that we do and not allow ourselves to get easily upset about anything. And it also says in 8, love keeps no record of being wrong, meaning don't think of no evil. You know, we are to forgive and move forward. God doesn't keep record of any of our faults. You know, he says he forgives all our sins. And once we've been forgiven, we are forgiving. So we have to do the same. We have the same type of love and respect for other people. Yes, somebody may have did something to upset you. Somebody may have did something, stole something from you. Anything that may have wronged you in any kind of way, abused you in a way, anything that have caused pain in your life, we can't keep record of that. You know, once we release it to God and we've forgiven them, we have to move forward in life. Because if we don't move forward in life, that caused damage to us. And it keeps us from moving far because we're holding on to those evil thoughts and those evil things that happen. We are not to think of evil. Everything we do, we are to think of noble things and truthful things and holy things, heavenly things. So when the enemy tries to give you a thought of something that happened to you or someone that wronged you, you remind the enemy that that is the past. And, you know, you have left your past in the past, and you're moving forward. You have to cast down them thoughts, you know, and hold every thought captive into obedience to God. So we keep no record of when people are doing us wrong. We forgive them, we let it go, and we move forward. The same way that you expect God to forgive you in everything that you do, that's the same type of way we should do it, by walking in love and forgiving their faults and letting it go and asking God to heal you in the wound that caused whatever the situation was. We should always do that and not hold on to anything. It also says that love is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins. We should hate injustice. Injustice is wrongfulness, unjust, and unrighteousness. We should hate every injustice that is out there. We should always hate that, and we should always desire to live by truth and want the truth and rejoice when the truth is prevalent. We have to do that because as Christians, there's a lot of injustice out there that sometimes we deal with, but we have to learn how to find the truth in everything and share it with everyone else. And also, I say love never gives up, which means to bear patience, like we said before, and to keep fighting, to never quit, to never give in. Love keeps us from giving in on each other and ourselves and all those around us. Love helps us to reach out on family members and friends that may not won't help, but, you know, we can't give up on them. And how do we help them? We have to go in our prayer closet and fall on our face and cry out and spare none. We have to reach out to them, but if they don't receive what you're saying to them, you can't force yourself, but you can't give up on them. Love never gives up. Because if you think about it, all the life, you know, some of us are saved and some of us are not saved, but God has graced us with mercy. And, you know, a lot of things that we've done, God could have been gave up on us, but he didn't. So the same love that God has given us, we have to share with everyone else. We cannot give on them. We may have family members that is on drugs. We may have family members that's in and out of the prison. We may have family members that just want to do whatever they want to do. And you know that their lives are not righteous. You know that they're doing things that are not pleasing unto God. And you just want to see the best in them. But we have to go before God, and we have to pray and ask God to help them. But we can never give up on them. And even our own situation and different things that we deal with, when we endure, you know, we got to let patience have its perfect work in us. We can't give up on every little trial and, you know, things that we go through because it's hard, you know, because God allows some things to develop our character. You know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every flaw. He knows every great thing in us. He knows us. So if you allow a trial or a pressure or something to come apart in your life, you have to go before God and ask God, whatever you're trying to show me, whatever you're trying to build in my character, show me so I can, you know, overcome this. But don't try to rush out of it because it's there for a reason. So we have to seek God's face and ask him whatever the reason is for that trial so we can overcome it. But we can't give up on every situation. Every time something gets hard, we can't just throw up our fingers, or every time something doesn't go the way we desire it to go, we can't just give up on it. We have to press. We have to push. We have to put goals before us and accomplish those goals. I know weight loss is a big deal for a lot of us, including myself, and health-wise. You know, we set goals for ourselves, and, you know, little by little, you know, make a long-term goal and then make little-term, you know, short-term goals and accomplish those goals. You can't give up on yourself. You know, make your paper or a list of what you're supposed to eat and what you're not supposed to eat, and put the things that you're supposed to have in your refrigerator and not those things that would not help you accomplish your goals. And that's whatever goal, even with school, you know. You may be in school or regular school, high school, whatever. You know, set goals for yourself so you can accomplish those things. You can't give up on yourself, because if you give up on yourself, you're giving up on everyone that's connected to you. You know, there's many people that's waiting for you to come forward in the things of God. And if you give up in a trial, how are you going to help them overcome what they're going through? You know, a lot of things, like I said, that we go through is to help someone else. In order for us to help them, we have to be willing to go through those things and not give up on each other or the things that God is doing for us. It also says love never loses faith. Again, we must have faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. We have to believe and commit. We have to trust in God and the word that he's given us to stand on, and we have to share that word. You know, the word says that the just live by faith. You know, the righteous shall live by faith. And that is, like, a very important commandment as well, because so many things that God is doing in our lives, we don't see it. You know, we see the now, but we don't see the future. But God sees the future. So we have to constantly stand on our faith and believe that no matter what it looks like, or no matter what's going around us, the circumstances around us, that God has the last say so. He is Alpha and Omega. He knows our beginning and our end. He said, I know the plans I have for you. You know, praying to prosper you, to give you a hope in the future, not to harm you. So we have to have faith and not lose faith in the things that God has given us. You know, if God has given you a business, a goal to do different things, write it down, make it plain, and then put it away. And then little by little, day by day, you push toward that. And every time it gets rough, you don't give up and you don't lose faith. You get you a scripture or two or three, however many your heart desire, and you stand on those scriptures, because that's where your strength comes from. Your strength comes from the word. The word helps you overcome every situation. It also say love is always hopeful. That means to expect things, you know, to be confident, to have positive thoughts, to always be hopeful that God knows and God sees, and everything that you're dealing with, you know, there's hope in Jesus. That's where our hope is. We have to always think positive with every situation, even with our other people around us, our family members and our friends. Be hopeful. Don't give up on them. We have to do our things in love. And love endures through every circumstance, it means to preserve and to maintain, to suffer patiently, like I just mentioned, and to remain through it all, meaning to stand tall through it all. In every circumstance, you have to endure and be tall. You have to remain and trust in God and what God is saying. You have to be anchored in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In every situation and circumstances, whether it's healing, financial, whatever it may be, your children, your wife, your husband, your job, whatever it may be, we have to stand and believe and endure for the moment and just know that God is coming through. Help is on the way. I heard that the other day. Help is on the way. If we going before God and we praying and asking God and, you know, surrendering all to God, God got us. He is not leaving us. He has never forsaken us. He is there. He's watching us go step by step, day by day. So endure and let patience have its perfect work in you and your family members and friends. The love of Christ it helps us and it gives us the strength to stand tall and endure with love. And verse 8 said, love will last forever. Although there's prophecy and the different things out there, love is the most important, and it will last forever. So what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love thinks on righteous things and good things and heavenly things. Love is truth. Love gives us the strength to keep fighting and enduring through it all. Love is having faith and hope in Jesus Christ. Love never ends. It never ends. So we must walk in God's love, the agape type of love. No matter what or what is going on in our lives, we must obey God's commandment, and that's to love him first and then love one another no matter what. Hallelujah, Jesus. We can't be critical with each other. We can't have critical attitudes toward each other. We have to let that flesh die down. Every time they come up, we got to tell our flesh, fall down, Holy Spirit, rise up. Because it's a day-to-day battle. We have to conquer it, and we can't let our flesh rule and reign. You know, having a critical attitude is finding faults in other people and errors in other people and not examining our own selves. You know, we're quick to point out someone else's wrongs or someone else is doing, and we're not even examining ourselves. You know, we have to walk in agape love, and that type of love is the same type of unconditional love that God has given us. We have to be mindful of our criticism. We can't have harsh criticism, because harsh criticism can destroy rather than help each other. You know, in Galatians 5:15, it says, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. You know, and 1 Peter 3:10 says, we are to keep our tongues from speaking evil. So whenever we're having criticism or whenever we're trying to speak about somebody, whether you realize it or not, when you're speaking bad of somebody or you saying things that are not helping or encouraging someone, you're speaking evil. You're not speaking of God. You're speaking of the enemy. You're letting your flesh rise up, and you're not being mindful of what's coming out of your mouth. So we have to be mindful of everything that comes out of our mouth, and we have to be mindful of not speaking ill on anyone, you know, because we have to examine our hearts. You know, we have to figure out what's going on in our heart before we can even speak about somebody else in their situation. And if we are to desire to bring forth any kind of criticism, we must do it constructively and with love. As mentioned in 1 Corinthians 4:5, we must be patient and kind and not be rude with each other. We must do it in love, in the God type of love, the agape love. And everything we do, we must do it through Jesus Christ. And lead whatever situation, wherever you're staying, in reference to someone, if you are a Christian and you're living a Christian life, everything you say and do should lead to Jesus Christ, because he is the reason for it all. And Romans 12:10 says, love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. We should humble ourselves, and we should always seek to help the next person before ourselves. And we should always take delight in honoring each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other. We should take delight in that. And I'm going to leave you with Ephesians 4:1-6, which says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. In all things that we do, we should do it in love and peace. We are all one body, and we have the same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. There's no I'm better than you type of thing. We are all one body, have the same Spirit, and been called to the same glorious future. And there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And there's only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. So we have to remember to walk in love, be at peace in everything that we do, and be united as the body of Christ and stand tall as the body of Christ like we are supposed to be. We are to uplift each other, not tear down each other. We are to help each other,
We have to reach out and encourage each other. Every time a bad thought comes through our mind, we have to cast that thought down and think of a positive thought to say. You know, because the enemy wants so bad to divide. He wants to divide and conquer. And if we allow that door to open, he will do it. So we have to be unified in the body of Christ. And we have to let our light shine and be a representation of Jesus Christ. Every, you know, there's a famous saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That is, it's cliche, but it's so, so important. Like, before you do anything, before you say anything, you ask yourself, what would Jesus do about this situation? What would Jesus say about this situation? So I ask all of y'all, and even myself, continue day by day to try our best to walk in love with each other and peace with each other and be unified. And then reach out to those who don't know the Lord and share the Lord with them and do it with love. Don't be judgmental. Don't be hypocrites. Do it with love. Because think about one day you wasn't saved. And you heard a word and it saved your life. So we got to be mindful of everyone that we come across, whether Christians or not. And if there is someone on the line that haven't received Jesus Christ, I share with you that all you have to do is to believe it and profess it, and you will receive the gift of salvation. And I thank everyone for joining us on tonight, and we love you all, and God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. I'm opening up the lines. Anybody got anybody want to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? The line is open. Praise the living God. And we just thank God tonight. It's been a great night. How God has brought us to a new existence. And I thank God for the teaching that was done tonight. Amen. Anybody, I'm listening. Anybody, the line is open. Anybody got a testimony to come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? The line's open. If not, we're just going to say to you, we love you. So I'm going to ask the evangelist, would you go ahead and close with something? Amen.
Say it again.
Latrice, would you go ahead and close us out for this evening on the radio station? Because we need to have some people.
Amen. I believe I heard you close it.
Yes, go ahead. We've done our task.
His voice going out. Amen. I thank you, God, for your word on tonight, Father God. I ask that you lead us all to walk in your type of love, Father God, that unconditional agape love, Father God. No matter how we may feel about certain people or certain things, help us to be mindful that, God, that same love that you've given us, we ought to share with everyone around us, Father God. Help us to remove ourselves, Father God, and humble ourselves and honor each other, Father God. Help us to take delight in honoring each other, Father God. Help us to be genuine with each other, Father God. And I pray for any person that doesn't know you, Father God, that you would draw near to them, Father God, and they will receive your gift of salvation, Father God, and you will lead them on the path of righteousness you have already ordained for them, Father God. I ask, Father God, you give us the strength to go day by day. Let your light shine through us, Father God. Purify anything out of us, Father God. Anything out of us, Father God, creating us a clean heart and a right spirit, Father God. Let us look up you. Let you look down at us and be proud to say we are your children, Father God. That you will be proud to see us doing the work that you call us to do, Father God, with love and peace and joy and understanding, Father God. Let your fruit be manifested in our lives, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Peace of God be upon all of us. Remember my words. I love you, I love you, I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So until next time, the Lord bless you.
Be blessed.